continue to look at the church covenant, where paragraph there that states we engage to religiously educate our children. That's in addition to keeping ourselves in a serviceable condition to the Lord, which falls under the category of secret devotion, which we looked at last week. So it's in addition to keeping ourselves spiritually strong and spiritually healthy. In addition to that, we pledge to educate or to train and teach our children. In other words, each member pledges to raise their children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. It is a pledge to godly upbringing, that we will bring up our children in a godly manner. And that is no easy task today because of the society that we live in has become almost entirely dependent upon the opinions of so-called child experts, who for the most part are bent on eroding biblical principles and biblical values in our everyday lives. But our society has come to respect the opinions of the sinful, the opinions of the godless, over the clear teachings of God's Word. And God's Word is very clear concerning the raising of children. So we make a pledge that we will raise our children according to the principles of God's Word. Now, this part of the covenant to religiously educate our children, this isn't talking about that we pledge to send our children to a Christian school or we pledge to homeschool our children. That's not what this is about. Moms and dads have to decide for themselves between them and the Lord on whether they will send their children to Christian school, whether they'll homeschool, or whether they'll send their kids to public school. That's mom's and dad's business, and they'll give an account for that. But no matter which one of those three you choose, Christian school, homeschool, or public school, the responsibility is yours. The responsibility is not the public schools. It's not the Christian schools. The responsibility is for moms and dads to religiously educate their children. So that's where the responsibility falls. Now, to spiritually educate our children, and I realize that most here are beyond this, your children have moved on, but to spiritually educate our children, the first thing necessary is we have to have a proper perception concerning them, concerning our children. In the book of Genesis, chapter 33, we see Jacob's view of his children. In Genesis 33 and verse 5, he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" He said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." The children which God hath graciously given. In Genesis chapter 48, we see the example of Joseph. Genesis 48 and verse 9. "And Joseph said unto his father, There are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." Whom God hath given me. Psalmist refers to the same thing in Psalm 127. We'll not turn there to save time. But it's God who gives children. It's God who gives children to moms and dads. And he gives these children for a reason. The Bible lays out several reasons why God gives children to parents, or what the parents' responsibility is to those children that are God-given. God gives us children for us to teach. We're to teach them. And we'd better be careful what we teach our children. That's what's so scary today, is children are having children. And people who don't know anything are having children and teaching their children. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. But that's part of the day in which we live. But you and I have to realize that God has given us children to teach. God has given us children to provide for. If you cannot afford children, you should not have children. It's not the state's responsibility to provide for children. It's mom and dad's responsibility to provide. God gives us children so that we can provide for them. He gives us children to nurture. Now, there are people today having children who are incapable of nurturing anything. They can't even nurture a dog, let alone a child. So they're given to us to teach, to provide for, to nurture, and also to control. God gives us children, and we are to control them. That is, we are to make sure they act right. We're to make sure that they behave. And God gives us children to love. We're to love them. And if we love them, we will teach them. And if we love them, we will provide for them, and we will nurture them, and we will control them. If we love them. The Bible teaches this. So, parents are the guardians and custodians of their children. So in our hands, that is moms and dads, are deposited the hope and blessing, or the curse and plague of the next generation. If we teach our children right, then they will be a blessing to society. If we don't, there'll be a curse, and there'll be a plague to society. It's not only our God-given responsibility to raise our children, it's a responsibility of a good citizen to raise their children for the very sake of society. So we see that families are the school for both the church and the state. That's the school. And we pledge that we will religiously educate our children. Now, God told Israel very plainly to take the time and to take the effort. And it takes time and it takes effort. It takes consistency. But he told Israel to take the time and the effort to teach their children. And this would be for their own well-being. And this would be for the well-being of future generations as well. Notice in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. And let's read verse 9. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Take heed to thyself. We have to do that first. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach the things of God to your children. Teach the things of God to your grandchildren.
teach them, train them. This is part of our pledge to religiously educate our children. We see the same thing is stressed in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. We are to, again, diligently teach our children. We're to talk about the things of the Lord with our children. Our children should be used to talking about the Lord. That should not be an unusual conversation in God's people, in the children of God's houses. That should be a common thing. That should be a common theme, the things of God. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 19, Deuteronomy 11, verse 19, "And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them," talking about the things of God, "speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That is, no matter what you're doing, you are to teach your children the things of the Lord. Families should eat together. Today, that's almost unheard of. Very few families sit down at a table and eat together. It's a good time to talk. But that hardly happens anymore, and that's not good. That's not a good thing. We are to teach our children. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 11 through verse 13. "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose," God has a chosen place of worship, "thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children. Gather them together to hear the word of God, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whither you go over to Jordan to possess it." So over and over again, God stressed to the children of Israel that they were to religiously educate their children, that they were to train their children. But Israel failed. Israel miserably failed in this. Notice in the book of Judges chapter 2, very familiar verse of scripture, Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." They failed. They failed to teach their children. And it brought a curse upon the next generation. I'm telling you, when children in the masses, whether it be in a church or wherever it might be, do not know the things of God, parents need to take a very serious look at themselves. Now, I realize that you can raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is not a guarantee that they are going to do right. It is a guarantee that they can never get away from what you taught them. But when a generation is lost, parents need to look in the mirror. They really do. And this was where Israel failed. They failed to educate their children. And you look at churches today, for the most part, churches are older congregations with very few children. Have we failed in educating our children? Did we do it wrong? It's something we have to examine ourselves.
Now, to spiritually educate our children, there are some misconceptions that we have to overcome. Some misconceptions that we have to realize are false. Number one is children are born in innocence. Nothing could be more untrue. No child is born innocent. The Bible teaches that they come forth from the womb speaking lies. Children are not born in innocence. So you had better teach them. You had better train them. Notice in Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's just not your neighbor's child. That's your child. That's just not the child down the street. That's everybody's child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We have to realize that. And therefore, we have to realize the responsibility that we have to train them. If you just leave them alone, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Every child is born with a nature that is bent toward evil, that is bent toward sin. And therefore, children need correction. They need discipline. They need to be restrained. They need to be controlled. They need to be loved. They need to be nurtured. We are to religiously educate our children. Many believe that children should be free to make their own choices in matters of religion or in matters of morality. And psychology and secular humanism have united their efforts to propagate that lie. That your child should have the choice. And which church they want to go to. How they want to live their lives. In other words, you have to make your children feel free from authority. Free from responsibility. All that's a lie. We have to realize that you cannot leave a child to themselves. Notice in Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But then notice, but a child left to himself. And we have a whole society of them. Children left to themselves. 5 and 6 year olds. Left to themselves. Or they are left with somebody who might be 18 or 19, but doesn't have the sense of a 5 or 6 year old. You might as well leave them by themselves. But children left to a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That is, nothing good is going to come of that. So children should not be left to themselves. We have to train them. We see also that another misconception is the state is responsible to educate the mind or the intellect of your child. Nothing could be further from the truth. The child does not belong to the state. It belongs to you. And you have the responsibility to educate, even intellectually, that child. That responsibility falls upon parents. It's not the state's responsibility. Now, the state has done a good job in convincing mom and dads that they're not qualified, but the state is qualified. Well, how foolish. How foolish. So we have to overcome this misconception and realize that God has placed children in our care. There are children. You send them to a public school, you send them to a Christian school, wherever. They're your children. They're not the school's children. They're yours. And you're responsible for them. And we pledge as church members that we will religiously educate our children. Now, another misconception is that as long as you meet the material needs of the child, then parents are doing a good job. How foolish. Providing for a child is the responsibility of parents. Though we are raising a generation that believes it's the responsibility of the government, but it is the responsibility of moms and dads to raise their children and to provide for their children. But provision alone does not make you a good parent. Buying them name brands does not make you a good parent. And we have a whole generation today who, unless they have a name brand, they have a self-esteem problem. We've got a problem. And parents fall into this trap. Well, they've got to have this because everybody else has it. No, they don't. No, they don't. Don't fall into that trap. My children has to have the best. My children will have more than I had when I was a kid. Why do they need more than you have? That's something that we have all bought into to some degree. All of us. My child is going to have more than I had. Did we have it that bad? No. But we get to this mindset where we think that material provision is the number one thing to make us a good parent. And again, nothing could be further from the truth. So this pledge to train, to bring up our children and nurture and admonition of the Lord, the Bible speaks a lot about it. Solomon wrote about it quite a bit. Solomon was one of the wisest men that's ever lived. And he said in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. Train up a child in the way that he should go. The thing is, moms and dads have to know which way that is. And therein lies the problem today. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Paul wrote, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, this requires time. Requires time. Well, I don't have time. Well, you should have thought of that before you had children. It requires time. It requires attention. Well, I don't have time to give them attention. You should have thought of that before you had children. It requires time. It requires attention. It requires earnest effort. It requires consistency. Train up a child. The very word train implies that it requires some rules. There has to be some rules. Train up a child. And again, it requires love. Solomon used the word train. Train up a child. The way he should go. The word train means to form. To form by instruction. To form by discipline. And discipline is not just corrective discipline. Discipline is instruction. And this is what training is. Training is instruction. Training is to drill. To repeat over and over. And over and over again. Until you get tired of saying it. But you still have to repeat it over and over and over again. That's part of training. Repetition. It means to make prepared. When you train something, whether it be an animal, a person, you are preparing them. And that's what raising children is all about. You are preparing them to be a responsible adult in society that can live and stand on their own two feet. That's what it means to train a child. It means to direct them. You have to give them
direction. Again, it is train up a child in the way that he should go. Again, they have a bent towards sin. It's not train them in the way that they will go. There's two ways that lie before him, before the child. The way that they will go, if left to themselves, and the way that they should go. And it's the parents' responsibility to direct them in the way that they should go. You leave the child alone, and guess which way they're going? The way that their nature leads them. And again, nothing good comes from that either. Then Paul, there in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, he used the word bring up instead of train. He said, bring them up. Now, to bring is to move something in a particular direction. So we are to move our children in a particular direction. To bring is to cause something to happen. And parents are to bring up their children. And he mentions two words. He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But may I say, before we get to that, to bring them up, the very word bring implies control. You can't bring anything unless you're in control of it. You have to control it. So to bring up children implies that we are in control of them. For all the parents who have a 2- and 3- and 4-year-old and say, I can't do a thing with them. You ought to be embarrassed to even say that. You ought to be ashamed. You mean to tell me that you cannot make a 2-year-old behave? You're bigger than they are. Hopefully you're smarter than they are. Maybe not. But hopefully you are. And it implies you have to control. You have to have control. And if you can't control them when they're 2, 3, and 4, what are you going to do when they're 15, 16, 17? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You've lost it. You have no control. And if you have no control, that child is left to themselves. And left to themselves, they will bring shame. So we're to bring them up, and he uses two words, nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the word nurture is a general term, and it includes everything that we do for our children. It is speaking of our actions, what we do. It is speaking of our actions in developing their mind. And whatever, it doesn't matter what your education is. As a mom and dad, you have the responsibility to develop the mind of a child. That's your responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility, it's your responsibility. To develop their spirit, to develop their morals. Now again, here's the problem. If you have people who have no morals raising children, what's going to be the result? Same thing. So it's what we do to develop their morals, what we do to develop their behavior, what we do to develop the whole personality of a child. And everybody's born with different personalities, but personalities can be shaped, personalities can be developed, and that's mom and dad's responsibility. And we pledge that we will do all of these things. So nurture speaks of everything we do for the child to develop that child. But it speaks of our actions. Now the word admonition, that puts the emphasis upon what we say to the children. What we say to them while we're trying to cultivate their character, while we're trying to develop their character. It's what we say to them. And children need words of exhortation. They need that. They need words of encouragement. Every child needs that. Every adult needs that. Just words of encouragement. But there's also words of reproof. When a child is doing wrong, that's not the time to encourage them. That's the time to reprove them. And yes, even words of blame. Oh, you don't want to blame the child. Well, if it's their fault, they need to realize that. If they've done something, there's nothing wrong with blame. Now, of course, it's to be balanced, just like anything else. But the most important phrase of all is in the Lord. And only Christian parents can do that. Every unsaved parent is to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition. That is, they are to develop their children by their own actions, and they are to develop their children by their speech, what they tell that child. But only a child of God can bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that is our pledge in the church covenant, that we will religiously educate our children. This is more than teaching them morality, and children need to be taught morality. Even lost parents should teach their children morals. Even lost parents should teach their children good manners. We have a society today, we have a generation today that does not know one single thing about manners. Because mom and dad doesn't know anything about it. There's nothing wrong with being polite. There's nothing wrong with having good manners. It's more than just commendable behavior. But every child should behave. Every child needs to be taught to behave. But to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's more than that. Children are to show respect. And again, we have a generation today, for the most part, that doesn't know a thing about it. They don't know a thing about respect for property. They don't know a thing about respect for other people. They don't know a thing about respect for the opposite sex. They don't know anything about it. They need to be taught these things. But to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is something more than just respect. And it's something more than treating others properly. It speaks of that which is spiritual. We're to train our children in spiritual truths. Now I realize that you and I cannot save our children. But I do believe that we ought to, even when our children are lost, you can teach them the truth. You can teach them what God's Word says. You can teach them doctrine. You can put it in their minds, just like the schools or anybody else can put all kinds of nonsense in their minds. You can put truth in their mind. You can put it there. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. Just a couple minute prayer before the child goes to bed, that's not going to do it. You have to take time and effort to fill their minds with truth. You say, oh, that's brainwashing. Call it whatever you want. It works. Fill their minds with the truth. They need to know truth. And then when God saves their soul, if he does, he'll put it in their heart. But it won't hurt them a bit to have it in their mind. They need to be taught truth. Don't leave it to the schools to teach your children spiritual truth. I don't care if they go to public school, Christian school, it doesn't matter. That's not where they're going to get spiritual truth. And don't just leave it to the Sunday school teacher or the pastor to teach them spiritual truth. You have to do that. You have to do that. And we pledge to do just that. To teach our children the truth. All of this requires love. Nothing can replace love. Nothing. There's a lot of misconceptions today about love. And it requires patience. You have to be patient. The truth is, you have to have more endurance than your child. That's the simple truth.
requires kindness. We're to be kind to our children. Requires long suffering, forbearance. That is, you put up with some things. Just like the Lord puts up with some things from us. A lot of parents seem to think that, well, not a lot, very few really, that they have to correct their child, they have to beat them every time the child acts up. No, you have to display a little bit of forbearance. The Lord doesn't beat you every time you act up. You have to have a little bit of patience and forbearance. But you cannot go too far where you leave them to themselves. Requires consistency. Have to be consistent. And it requires correction. It must be trained with the realization that the soul is the most important thing in that child. We have to realize that as parents, that the children that God has given us, they all have a soul. And the most important thing about that child is their soul. And you have to keep that in mind the whole time you are raising that child. And again, it's good to, in raising a child, just simply remember how the Lord raises His children. We can learn a lot just from how the Lord deals with us. And we need to carry that over into our children. And then, of course, we're not going to go into it, but to religiously educate our children does require corrective discipline. Requires corrective discipline. A child must see that there is a connection between act and consequence. They have to see that there is a connection. We have a whole society today who does not seem to grasp the basic concept of consequences. And it's because of the way that they've been raised. So, a little church, like Home Baptist Church, if we just raised our children correctly, we have done a great service to society. We really have. We've done a great service to the future generation in the United States. I think it's one of the most patriotic things you can do. Just raise your children right. For the good of the country. Raise your children right. For the good of the church. Raise your children right. So we make a pledge. And parents, we all fail in many, many areas. And if you could do it over, many things you would do differently. And I'll tell you right now, if I had to do it over, I'd be stricter. I really would. And there are too many things that parents are far too lenient. And then there's some things that they're perhaps too strict upon. We get out of balance. We get out of balance. And we can do a lot of harm. So we pledge to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe that also means that each one of us as church members pledges that we will not bring spiritual harm upon children that are in church. That we have a responsibility to each child. We have a responsibility to be a testimony to them. The only place they're going to see how godly men and godly women are to act, how they are to act, is in the house of God. And sad to say, they've seen some pretty bad things. Many of them. So God help us. to realize the importance of raising our children. You've already raised your children. Realize the importance that others have of raising their children, and that you would do nothing that would hinder them from raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It'll be well worth it if we just follow God's instruction. Ben, if you'd come and lead us in prayer.